Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex.
What's happening, everybody, and welcome to this, another episode of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. Well, tonight we have got a special show where we're going away from our usual format of talking about WWE shows, everything, etc. And we're going to be doing a bit about wrestling training. So I've got a panel full of trainees and wrestlers who have been trained in the past. Maybe I've gave up, maybe not, who knows. You'll be able to tell when I go round the panel. I'm your host this week, Stephen Wilson, who is not trained in wrestling, has no intention to because he's scared of bumps.
I thought you were going to let me suplex you.
Maybe later.
He'll land on his feet.
Trust me, he won't.
Right, so here is our panel. First of all, representing GPWA, who has got trainers such as BT Gunn, Wolfgang, Lionheart, with some graduates such as Leighton Buzzard and Ravy Davy. Making his comeback to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retreat, a comeback that has drawn comparisons to many to the Cologne's recent return on SmackDown. It's Andy Mitchell.
Hey, how's it going?
How's things, man?
It's good to be back.
Yes, you took time off because you were training.
I was, yeah. I was, now I'm a semi, no, not semi, I'm a very amateur, shitty wrestler.
Ellie, you got through, so.
Yeah, did you?
Nothing to snuff at, so it's good to have you back on. Our next panellist is representing PBW, which is the trainer of Kid Fight and has got grads such as Kaylee Ray and Kenny Williams. I would call her a female trainee, but it's not worth the hassle it's going to cause me. So she's just a trainee. I did not call you a female trainee.
I'm not shocked at that. I'm shocked that you missed out my actual trainer.
Who is your actual trainer?
TJ Rage.
TJ Rage, of course. How could I forget TJ Rage?
That's shocking. Absolutely shocking.
I went generic and screwed up. I'm doing my Dave and Courtney impressionation here.
I hope he spears you now.
Write that botch down.
Number one. I never listened before as a botch count. Yeah, so Jamie's here.
Hello.
Well, thanks for riffing me already after 2 minutes.
You're welcome.
That's a record. And next up, he started off at BCW, then moved on to what was called Area 52, which became SWA, which is now known as Source. It's Source Wrestling, who's a famous trainers of Killian Dane, Big Damo, now training Mikey Whiplash, successful grads, Lewis Girvin, Coffees, DCT, and himself. He's the leader of the What Would Strack Do movement, as Quacky likes to put it, because he loves to bang these tables. It's Strack. Strack.
How you doing, guys?
How's things, man?
Not bad, but trust me, you're going to get suplexed at some point.
Yeah.
I'll get a crash mat for somewhere, even still Air 52 one, we'll use that.
We've got to put the name to good use of the suplex.
Yeah, you've got to repeat it as well. So.
Yeah. No, you have to retweet it. You have to retweet it.
You say yeah. Eat, sleep, suplex. You never took a suplex. Is it the name?
It was catchy. I went with it, you know.
It's not a phase.
It's not a face, no.
Sorry, we'll all suplex them together.
Oh. Yeah, Tower of Doom.
Rounding off our panel tonight is our guest panellist tonight. He has got a trainee CV longer than the list of 1,004 holds. Because he also started off at Area 52 SWA, but he is now a trainee at the Reckless Intent School in Livingston, which has got trainers of Jam O'Malley, Michael Chase, and now Chris Renfrew. It's Cav.
Hello, how you doing, guys?
How's things, mate?
Good, always yeah. Good, glad to be here.
Cav, if you know, is not a fan of our photography.
No, This investigation has still not been concluded since I got here. I'm not happy with this.
It was all Sarah.
It was all Sarah.
I'm waiting in the middle of evidence.
Sarah is meant to be here today, but she heard you were on, and she's like, no, because I know the guy's still angry with me, so I won't come through.
You know what? Next time you see her, don't tell him I'm going to be here.
Don't start. We've already got the Titans going to come in and attack Dave.
He can come in dressed up as a woman for the woman show.
No. I'm just going to stalk the unit and sit here and wait.
The man in charge of said video investigation is a man who I had a thought, I think, of what his characteristics would be if he was a wrestler. And I thought he would have the killer instincts of Samoa Joe, the charisma of The Miz, but the technical ability of the great Khali.
No dissing Khali in my presence.
That's Kwaku Aji or MVEP.
I'm gonna sweat.
Brain chop, mate.
You tell me to rip you to be bad at the worst on you.
I will brain chop you, but there's nothing there to chop.
harsh. So yes, this week's show is all about wrestling training.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. If you're listening to us for the first time, we have an extensive back catalogue of other episodes which are available on iTunes, all good Android podcasting sites, and Spotify. If you like to follow us on social media, we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Suplex Retweet. And if you like what you hear, give us a rating. Please give us 5 stars. If you're Dave Meltzer, give us 7 stars. You know, or just break the star system, you know. Before we start, a quick thank you to Mr. David Grimason from Loveman Media for the use of the background music you can hear here, Power Forward from the ICW album. David is available for music productions. He did not pay me to say that.
No. And that sounds like Dave.
Right, let's get cracking. And I thought it's a good way. Obviously, I'm not a wrestling trainee, and as we said, I'm scared of getting suplexed. So I'm not going to do a lot of talking this week. I'm going to leave it to our panellists this week to do most of the talking. And we're going to start by going round each of them and asking them the big question. What got you into training? Obviously, why you chose your school. And obviously, we kind of know who trained Jamie. But she's going to tell us a bit more about it. But first, I'm going to start with Andy here. Going to go round the panel here. Andy, why did you decide to train? Well, obviously, picking GPWA... and never seeing an ICW show is an interesting combination.
Yeah, it is actually, yeah. Well, I had a few friends, Nathan Fisher, and who unfortunately didn't pass. I think he came in second. as well, sorry, Nathan. No, and they'd sort of done it, and I joined like the Glasgow Pro Wrestling Society at the uni, and met Kez Evans from there, and actually was training like weightlifting with Kez Evans for a while, and don't know, just got talking about it, and for years I always wanted to try it, and I was getting like, I'm 29 now, so I was thinking if I do it now, I didn't even know there was other places, like you're saying Sources and Ibrox.
It used to be, it's in Polish Osnan.
Alright, fair enough. Well, if it was still in Ibrox, I live in Govan, so I was like, I'm going all the way into town to go into there.
I'm in Cadonald.
But no, what was I saying? Totally went off tangent there.
So, Kez Evans.
Yeah, but yeah, I actually was out on a night out, and I bumped into Jack Jester when I was drunk. And I was just...
As most people do.
And I started to shut up to him, I was like, are you a wrestler? And he goes, yeah, I am. And I'm like, yeah, I remember seeing you, and just was talking utter shite to him, and I just saw it in his face, he was like, what are you wanting? And I was like, oh yeah, I've always wanted to be like, try it. I want to go, yeah, do it. Basically we got GPWA, and yeah, and, my friend David Campbell, who's obviously on the podcast.
Oh, the chap.
Yeah, the chap. he was doing a wrestling film and wanted me to be in it, so fortunately when it came around to doing the filming and stuff, they were doing some inductions for it, so yeah, it kind of all like fitted in, and just, I think I was drunk when I actually signed up, because I was a bit like, oh, I don't know if I want to do it, and that's £125, and I thought, yeah, well, I just was drunk, done it, and then woke up the next morning, and I was like, oh, well, I've been accepted, so yeah, that's really the story.
You told me before the show that the main guys at kind of change is obviously Jester and Lionheart.
Yeah.
How is it training with him?
All right, pretty tough. Jester is, they're all great, but Jester has this sort of aura about him where he's approachable, but he isn't at the same time. He's got such a presence that it is quite scary to ask him stuff, but when you do, he's like really like direct and tells you how to do it and stuff, and basically wants you to do it safely and as as good as you can. But yeah, we get trained by Lionheart, BT Gunn, Stevie Boy, Kayla Ray, and Wolfgang. It was quite funny because I remember when we first like sort of met him, like as he said, I hadn't watched ICW before, so it's kind of like BT Gunn sat there, like the ICW champ. I'm kind of like, who are these guys? I remember seeing like Lionheart wrestle and Jack Jester, but everyone else I kind of wasn't too sure who they were. And now obviously like training with them, that I've checked out some of the matches and still haven't been to an ICW show yet, which I need to definitely do. But
David Hockney's got the one before you this year. That's what you know, things aren't doing well.
I know, it's a bit bad that I'm training with them and I was like, nah, I've never been to your shows.
Yeah, you could.
Not to lie, I went to one at Freshers in 2016 actually, so yeah. I did go to one, but I didn't really know much about it back then.
I mean, you obviously, you said about Kez Evans, I mean, you and him could become a tag team and you could become the U Vaudevillains, as he's been compared to a. Was it shit Simon Gotch? You can be the U Aid in English.
What the shit Aid in English?
Yeah. Can you sing?
No, I can't sing now.
Even better.
I'll warm your vocals up.
Thanks. That sounds really nice.
We'll move on now to Jamie. Jamie, you've already grilled me about missing out who your trainer was, but what got you into getting into training?
Well, here we go. I've got a great sob story for this, right? Well, like, originally, I think what made me want to train was, I think I was like 12 or 13 years old, and obviously Drew Galloway on WWE. Hearing me was from Glasgow, Scotland, and it was like, well, this guy's from, like, where I am. Maybe I could get there one day. And I was up in Aberdeen for a family event, and I decided, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go for it, I'm going to actually go for it. Unfortunately, when we came back down, found out my dad was terminally ill, so we were looking after him for a few months. The night he passed, I was staying up for Daniel Bryan's retirement speech, and the New Day came out, and it's when they were still doing the power of positivity angle, so they're coming out and all clapping, and my dad dies right at that moment. Like, right at that moment, I'm sitting there going, I need to, like, turn this off before I wake my mum up, like, it's a sort of awkward. After that, I totally didn't watch any wrestling. Like, I was so done with it. I was like, it was something to, like, that was its fault. Like, I was staying up to watch that, and yeah, then that happened. So like a month after that, we had all my dad's possessions and stuff. We had a pair of really expensive cowboy boots, and I can't even remember how it happened, but Jester ended up getting them. So I ended up going in, going to the asylum to give him the boots, and when I was in there, I was like, this place is actually pretty cool. And I ended up signing up for the asylum and being there for like the first 6 months of my training, and it was really good. Unfortunately, I had to leave like with family stuff and injury, and I think I was like 19 at the time, so I was still on like £5 an hour, so I couldn't afford to go back, unfortunately, because obviously it's like £125 in the one sitting. You're making £5 an hour on an 8-hour contract a week. It just wasn't happening. Months and months later, well, it took me out like over a year, finally my friend Stone Malone pushed me to come back, and he was like, come to PBW and Airdrie, even though it was totally out of my way, but managed to get a taxi over and fell in love with it ever since.
You say about those cowboy boots, I mean, I wonder what the cowboy boots could be. You think Jackie Polo's wearing the cowboy boots?
No, actually, no, once Jester did come out in them once, and I can't remember, but he was cutting a promo, and I was just, the whole time I was like, that's those boots. You still have them like 2 years later. That's so cute.
That is quite a cool story, that one. And as I said, some of the grads that came through the PBW school, you've got the likes of Kenny Williams and Kayla Ray there, so.
It's like, it might not be the same centre in Airdrie, but it's the fact that like Kenny Williams was doing what I was doing, just like bumping on mats, like not having a proper ring, and he's like up in the big leagues now from the same trainer as well. Makes you think you can actually do it.
If you want to hear about Kenny Williams' rise to NXT UK, you can hear our interview with Kenny Williams in our back catalogue, available on iTunes, Spotify, or good Android podcast.
I like how you go from that beautiful story to that shameless cheap comment. You're so shameless.
Somebody has to be Ross. Ross isn't here. I need you to take on that mantle. So yeah, that, moving on now. We're going to then go down to Strack. Strack, go back many, many years and tell us about why
You realise I'm big enough to hurt you severely?
If you can remember that far.
Blank white.
What got you interested in the training?
For years, well, I was 8 years old, I'd done kickboxing and Thai boxing, and right up till I was 18. And won British titles, Scottish titles and things like that, and I thought, I've done it really, so what else can I do? Always loved wrestling, always watched it for Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and like Mr. Perfect and like right back at the 90s, start of the 90s, and kind of fell away from it, then go back in towards like 1998, like Austin era. And I was like, well, I could maybe get into something like that. And I thought, nah, I'll just forget it. And then it ended up, I think I was about 19. I went to BCW in Rutherglen, and it was the basic training. It was basically a garage that had, the thin gym mats, the hard solid things. It was that and the flare, and that was it. That we had no ring, we had nothing. And it was me, Liam Thompson, Jack Jester, Drew Galloway, Wolfgang, Lionheart, Brad Fusion. Their name. And a guy, remember Big Kev, Colossus?
Yes, I remember Big Kev.
Love Big Kev. It was basically just us, that was it. And the guys, I went to train a couple of times and I was like, this is it, this is how you train a wrestler. It's a shed with a couple of pads. But then Wolfie and Darkseid and all that, they were going down south and doing 1PW, meeting AJ Styles and Abyss and things like that. Drew was getting tryouts for WWE. I was like, right, well, must obviously get you somewhere. But then some show happened and financial issues and stuff like that. I know with myself, the training, didn't have a training centre. So I went to SWA. It was actually, they'd done a show in Belsill, got this with Matt Busby, of course, for us. And I was at the show and Grado was walking about the guardrail and I shouted at him, I said, here mate, where does it use train? And he's like, Paisley. And I says, alright, where about? And he was talking to me. And I says, I was thinking about coming, I was training with BCW and they've not got a centre now. And he went, oh, there's a number, phone that number and you can come to training. Didn't know it was Con's number. I thought it was his. So I phoned it, I was like, alright mate, remember I was talking to you at the show? Con's like, who the fuck's this? I think I've got the wrong number. I was talking to Grant Dunbar.
How did you know it was Con for the ringtone?
You're Con. No, that's before this, man. That's before the phones hit that. The phones, the dial on them, the mobiles. And I spoke to Con and I says, alright, I'll be coming to training. I've previously what I've done. And he says, I have no problem with that. We're in Linwood. Come around and let's see what you think. So I came round and walked in and went, oh, they've got a ring. Finally got up in the world.
World of sport ring.
And I went, oh, they've got a solid world of sport ring, man. People were like, oh, I don't like bumping that ring. It's like, I'm used to it now. The toilet as well, that was other things. Like, yeah, can I get a toilet?
Two toilets.
Aye. Never get cleaned, but I've got two toilets.
I love how in the other world, WWE, you've got this big state-of-the-art performance centre and you're raving about a toilet.
Well, that's how bad we were. We just got in there and we're like, ah, yeah, it's my gym mat, it's in a garage. And, I trained staying at SWA and got my start as Chaos, which I've now found out was a rib, which is brilliant. But that's where I started, and then it was basically part of the A-list with Wolfie and stuff like that, and it's stayed there for a while, and then obviously left to start bodybuilding, possibly thinking about going back.
You tend to flip-flop quite a lot when I talk about it. It's like wrestling, bodybuilding.
It's just two things I enjoy, man. It's like, because with wrestling, the only thing is getting on shows and getting booked and things like that is completely different from bodybuilding, because bodybuilding, I can obviously apply and I pay to compete on stage, but at the same time, I'm going to go on stage, I know I'm going to look at it, and I know it's up to me how good I look to how good I place. Whereas the only bounce I can say with wrestling is you can go, knock your pan in, and get nowhere. I've seen it happen to a lot of guys, and it pisses me off, that's why I walked away.
It's quite a thing about that, obviously. It's not an easy thing to get into in any shape or form.
You can't just walk in and think, oh, I know how to backyard wrestle. I'll be doing matches with Wolfie and Chester. And I'm like, no, you're the boatman of a ladder, you're 10 feet underneath that when you start, so.
Yeah. But it's an interesting journey how it went from that to that type of journey. The Belsill, I wish I knew about that Belsill.
It was. What was it again? I can't remember the name of the show.
What was the main event, I will tell you?
It was always the same. It was always Quan against Magic.
Was it the casket match? No.
No. Because we were there for that.
I wasn't there.
I was before you then. No, I wasn't that. But Quan had the white gear.
Was that when he done his comeback?
No, that was a black gear.
No, he done his comeback in the white gear first.
All right, aye, that then.
With the woman, Hope.
Aye.
I can't remember the show, but I know what you're talking about.
But I say, I was just at the show and I'm sitting with one of our guys and I was like, let me start going to this company. And I say, I speak to Grado, having a laugh, and I think Graham's probably one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet, isn't he?
Can I make a point? See, if you come back to wrestling, you two need to be a tag team.
We've tagged many times.
You two, wasn't that? Don't do this, don't do that, I'd love it.
Every time we go to training, we keep getting put in tag matches, but then when we get a show, it's always me against him. I've wrestled you about 4 or 5 times in shows, but every time we go
what's
to training,
the numbers?
Boom,
there's one more. There's one more of you two.
Remember that time we saved you and we made you dance?
we need to talk about that more a bit more later. But this is a perfect time to move on to you, Cam. Obviously, we can kind of tell that you and Strachan both had a kind of similar journey.
Yeah,
what got you into training?
I don't know how old your listeners are. If they remember Power Slam,
yeah, I remember.
There was always an advert in the back of Power Slam for going down to the Hammerlock camps. I had applied to go to the Hammerlock camp when I was 15. Then obviously, like, my mum died when I was 15, so. My dad kind of taught me out for going down. I was about 19 when I found out my pal was training at the SWA school. Went in, and it's a Hammerlock school. I'm like, this is me coming full circle. The guys that trained there, if I had went down when I was 15, would have been the same guys I'd met. So it was meant to be for me, really. So I started in there, trained off Conscience, Adam Shame, Billy Grange, Magic, all the big names back then of British wrestling, really. And like Strack says, we had a ring, we had a toilet, we had an actual venue, we were running shows.
That's so sad.
We were running
so
shows monthly.
We had a toilet.
Back then, SWA were like one of the first companies to use, like, the, as they called it, the Tartantron, and have ongoing storylines and stuff. For there, once Conscience left the business, really, Big Demo took over. He moved the school from Linwood to Ibrox, rebranded it as Source, and brought in different guys for training, like Mikey Whiplash, who is stupidly influential in like almost every wrestler in Scotland at the minute. The guy is, you know, he's that good. Then they moved into Shawlands, or Pollock Shaw's kind of thereabouts, and just upped the production tenfold there. They started bringing in guys like Billy Gunn, James Storm, Virgo Devitt countless times, Johnny Moss, Johnny Saint, Marty Jones, Ultimo Dragon, Chris Sabin, Christopher Daniels.
This is stellar.
We drew Galloway in. We've had probably more. I've got it all wrote down somewhere. But since then, Whippies took over. As you know, the school has went from strength to strength, and you know it's a fantastic place. If you want to learn, it's a fantastic place to learn. For there, I kind of bounced away from the schools. I'm literally looking to train everywhere and anywhere, so I ended up at Reckless Intent. Been pals with Jam O'Malley for like years. Michael Chaser just had his WWE tryout. The guy's on fire at the minute for his, you know, he's big at the minute, you know what I mean? He's fantastically well, lovely fella. Let's say WWE tryout, I wanted to go pick his brain, see what they're doing there, and then hopefully apply it to me, get myself moving about. Occasionally I'll train down Respect Pro, run by Bobby Roberts. They both, like Lewis Govan is a trainer, Christopher Saint is a trainer. Sometimes me, because like Demo did trust me at Source to train his Wednesday night beginners class, so some of the guys you may have seen, I had a hand in training them. So there you go.
A lot of the interviews we've done in the past with guys who have came through Source, and the amount of, even the guys I've not came through Source, the amount of them who quote Demo, obviously Killian Dane now, as an influence to him is unreal.
Definitely, it's like that. Just even wee things, like Demo was really good at picking the wee things, going, do this, change that, get rid of that, don't even think about doing this, you know, but I have a lot of time for Demo. I could, you know, spend hours talking about him, but, you know, you just don't have that.
Yeah, everybody says that about him. A lot of people kind of say, like, he didn't want to do that training role, but he was kind of...
It was a case of, when Conscience was getting out of the business, when Peter was leaving, it was a case of, like, where are we all meant to go? As trainees, as guys who had put money into the school and were wanting to be wrestlers, if that school would shut down,
We were like, where are we going to go? Because back then, there was a huge divide amongst the training schools. It was like, if you trained with SW, you couldn't go to BCW, aye. You couldn't go to PBW. You know, that was like, it was taboo. You could not do it. You know, that was it. Mm-hmm. So we were like, well, what's going to happen? And it was Demo. Demo obviously didn't want to give up his dream of being a wrestler. And just before then, we'd somehow managed to get John Laurinaitis in to take training, right? For a literally a closed door tryouts for 12 people. All stemming for the NXT name. If you didn't know, SW used to own the NXT name. And yeah, WWE,
Strax told us that in the past.
WWE bought the rights to the name, and that was one of the things.
So you two have wrestled on NXT?
Technically, me and Stevie Xavier were the first ever match on the first ever NXT show.
So there you go. Forget Seth Rollins, become the first NXT champion, everyone should get chance in Strax's name.
And so obviously Demo didn't want to give up on that dream, especially the fact that the only two guys that John Laurinaitis took to Raw the very next night was Demo and Jackie Polo. So Demo just essentially took over the school, put his own career on a back burner for a good couple of months, good couple of years, to make sure guys like us got an opportunity. And it's been repaid to him, karma's came in for that guy, and he is going to be huge.
Absolutely, a five-star match now officially from Uncle Dave. So take who you think Uncle Dave is. You know, we've got various Daves that have been related to this show. So yeah, that's how you've all got into wrestling, got into the training, got picked your schools, etc. Now we're just going to go around you, and this is a question that we kind of came about before we talked about the show, but it's an interesting one. Before you all trained, you probably all dreamed about being a professional wrestler, watching on the telly and getting a chance. But obviously, there's things that you don't know when you go into the schools. I don't know, because I've never been in any of them. Here's a question to you, though. What do you wish you knew then that you know now from training? So what do you wish you knew before you started training? Now, you open up. Strack, what's that with you?
I knew before I started.
To go to the toilet before you went to the training.
I was like a BCW, it's like that, or go out the side of the gravel mixer, that's when you go to the toilet. I don't know, there's nothing I was really unprepared for, because I'd done no training for wrestling, but I'd done training before, so I kind of knew how it went, and knew how the training went financially and stuff like that, because you always need to make sure you're kind of set for, because financially it does use up a lot, because you've got, obviously your training fee. You've got then your, like, I didn't drive, so I was getting the 240 for View Park into Glasgow, the number 9 for Glasgow into Linwood, and that was an hour and a half on a bus, an hour and a half to get for my bit to Paisley.
For anybody that doesn't know, the 240 from View Park to Glasgow is not exactly five star.
No.
Neither's the number 9.
You've not heard about the number 9 bus.
You've not heard about the
You drink
the
tonic wine on the number 9, it is a golden rule.
Have you not heard about the night 240 bus?
Oh, the party bus?
Aye, there's a bouncer on that bus.
What? That's the same as the number 9. Number 9 is the only bus that goes everywhere, apart from View Park.
But just the thing, when I started driving, I drove to, I can't remember how I ended up doing it, but I drove to Linwood. And I went, this took me 25 minutes.
Motorways, mate, motorways.
Aye, but I'm like, how did this take me an hour and a half? See my BCW, it took me the 240 into Hamilton, then changed it to Hamilton, Bristol Motherwell, to go to Rutherglen. That was it, and then I drove to Skobride for one of my new jobs. 14 minutes.
Expressways, motorways, you don't have to stop at traffic lights and you're not picking up every person at a bus stop. That's how your time changes.
So honestly, what I wish I knew before, get a driving licence.
But you say about finance, obviously, Jamie, I think you mentioned in the past about the pricing, obviously, of the pads and that type of stuff. Is that one of the things you wish you knew before you started, or was there anything else that you kind of wish?
I don't really mind that, because like, I was a bit dedicated, so like when I started the asylum, like there's no travel in Carlow on a Sundays at all, and the first train starts at like 10:30, so when you're needing to be in Glasgow for 11. So I was getting taxis that were upwards of like £45 into Glasgow just to make sure I could make training. So like the pads and the shoes and all that doesn't bother me as much. It's more like, I guess, how much time, which I don't actually mind, to see with like all the extras we'll get into later, is how much is expected of you, not just the training, but also like you get your flight and you get everything else you need to do. But and then if you're working at the same time, it gets pretty difficult.
Definitely. You have heard, obviously, it does take a lot of time. Because you obviously, you start maybe like one class a week, and then obviously more into, you're obviously doing different nights. Mm-hmm. And
it's up to you, really.
There's obviously,
you're literally, what you put in, you'll get back. If you're only going to one class a week, you're only going to learn so much. Mm-hmm. If you really want it, you'll be at more classes a week.
Well, see, we only have it like on the Sundays, but like there was a couple of weeks ago that we had it like, we had managed to get a seminar during the week, then we had training on Sunday, but then we also had 3 flying shifts as well. So try to like get all that in there.
It's struggle, time management.
It's enjoyable though.
Flying shifts, oh, I look forward to talking about this later on.
I've got some good stories.
Good takeaway stories.
Gav, what did you wish you before you started training?
See, to be honest, I don't know. I kind of went into it with a totally open mind. Right, if anybody who knows me, right, everyone knows that Arnold Schwarzenegger is my idol and I aspire to be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You know DCT has a podcast?
Do you know I'm trying to get on it as a guest? have you never seen my Facebook in March? Austrian History Month, where I watch every single movie in chronological order. Right,
I've enjoyed seeing that every year.
I'm not getting into that on this podcast. If you want to hear more about that, please follow me on Twitter.
I'm going to have to follow you because I'm also a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan.
So as Arnie likes it, Arnie goes into a lot of stuff with an open mind. He doesn't want to know, you know, oh, this could happen, that could happen. Because then, you know, that worries you, just go in and let it happen. So I just went in there with a totally open mind going, you know what, I'm going to go in here, eyes open, mouth shut, and just go for it. So that's really it, you know. Now looking back, probably I think, oh, I could have done this better, done that better, but it's hindsight, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a general thing. I think with wrestling, though, you go into it with an open mind. I mean, you see some of the stuff that gets done. I mean, I've been critical of it recently, but you talk Joey Ryan and the Penis Droids. At All In is a great example of
good
open minds. You know, I mean, I wasn't a fan of it, but you know, those are the things.
Everybody has, you know, whatever, there's different opinions. Wrestling is the most subjective art known to man. Mm-hmm. You know, so obviously, what you don't like, Strack might like. What Strack doesn't like, I'll like. You know, it's, you know, it's one of the things. You know, something for everybody.
I mean, going quickly off topic, in terms of your Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, is 1997 Batman and Robin on this list of films that you want?
Oh, yes.
Batman, of course
it has. In fact, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Museum and Arnold fans on Twitter are trying to get Mr. Freeze trending on Saturday the 15th because it's Batman Day. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get it trending. So hashtag Mr. Freeze on Saturday, if you don't mind. Make as many icy puns as possible.
That's quite smashing. The Arnold fans, he's sitting with a Dylan t-shirt on for Predator, and I've got the red polo shirt for Predator 1 that Arnie's wearing, so...
Arnie needs a big cigar and
I said I'm doing the airport, we've got to do the train station like that.
Speaking of cigars, am I actually looking at importing some of Cody Rhodes' American Rebel cigars, which you've got a good smoke.
Invite me around, please.
Depends how many I'm buying. Import taxis.
Sadly, we'll save the Arnie chat to DCT on his podcast. Andy?
Same again, like, I wasn't really, like, I don't really know what to think before I got in. I started like reading stuff online and stuff like before training and that, and I found an article by William Regal, and it was kind of like telling you like his experience and what to sort of like take from it and stuff. So I kind of went in knowing that it would be tough, and the only thing I could say is probably work on your cardio before you go in.
Oh.
That's probably the only thing I
remember say. Literally my first time at the asylum, I couldn't walk for 3 days afterwards.
Yeah,
I literally, like, actually couldn't walk.
See training now, see when we first started, the actual like level of like cardio and stuff. I'm making air quotes, by the way, just, you know, compared to now, it was atrocious. Like, you've probably have done the deck of cards workout and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. See when we first started, do 10 press-ups, 10 squats and 10 burpees. That was it.
Run in
the car park, that was it. And you know, you wonder why guys back then don't look as good as the guys now, and the guys now are in a lot better shape, so you know.
It'll be interesting in the second half of the show when we kind of talk about the training you did and compare you two training to your two training.
Yeah. But see, then again, I've trained like for a long time, so I've experienced what you guys have experienced. Mm-hmm. I've had the best of both. Well, I say the best of both worlds, but you know.
I mean, I'll quickly say as well, always be on time, because on our second week we had some guy show up late, and he got the nickname Nacho because Jack Jester was like, why are you late? And he goes, always eating nachos. And he was like, and we were all just done.
I've heard that.
We all done like 200 squats and we were doing our rolls and stuff, and Jack Jester was like out the ring, he was doing another 100 squats. Mm-hmm. And we were just like dead. And the guy was actually late because of the boss, but he thought it would be funny and say, well, was eating nachos, and that was it. It was kind of...
Nachos?
Yeah, he didn't last long after that. So...
Oh jeez, that's bad, you know. Just say it. Now there's a tip for you. We've had Strack talking about public transport. We've had you talking about somebody who lied about public transport. Your tip is so true now.
Aye.
Learn to drive, because if you have to get the bus, yeah, you end up late and you have to do an extra 100 squats.
And you get a rubbish nickname.
Right, yeah. It's just honestly, I was 19 and I started trying to drive when I was 17, and then because of the shitty instructor I had, I just gave it up. He was totally, I'm older, so you're looking back, I'm like, oh, why don't I just fucking punch you in the mouth?
You know, like you're saying, but see, from when I learned to drive, I went for going to just a Sunday only session with SW, and that was getting the number 9, the classic number 9 that you got to the mood. But see, as soon as I learned to drive, that was the case. I was going there Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, because the car gives you the freedom to go and train whenever, whenever, or wherever.
Aye, it makes his life so much easier. So honestly, if you're going to travel, because wrestling centres, there's never one near you.
And
there's never one near you.
Promoters prefer it if you can drive.
Mm. Aye,
always helps. Mm-hmm. Car shares, saving them money, all that sort of jazz. So learning to drive always helps.
Mm. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, there's great examples of obviously these trips away. You know, the thing always helps when you have to tour somewhere. I mean. Recently, obviously, WWE have done their ride-along stuff, and the amount of driving they need to do between venues is unreal. Yeah. So having that does help, and you don't need to take that dreaded 240 at night.
And plus, especially if you get people in the car and you're driving back to like Newcastle or Manchester, then you're falling asleep. If you're in the car yourself, you're pretty much gubbed.
Don't get me wrong, though. See the number 9, see coming back from training, we were all on the bus together. That was a good laugh. That kind of made it worth it, because we were all sitting just having a giggle.
I mean, quickly before we take a break, is there any good car share stories anybody wants to share that are allowed to, that they can share on air?
I'm trying to think if I get any good. No.
Not any wrestling related, but.
me and Whippy went to Absolute Wrestling in Newcastle, which is. They've not run many shows recently, but they're a really, really well run company. And my sat nav died halfway there. So, trying to find the way there. Plus, I was like taking a corner coming off the motorway at like 55, and we started sliding and stuff, but we survived, we got there, and we didn't die, so it's a good night.
The great example I saw recently was, it was so many year anniversary since the infamous ICW trip to, was it Sheffield?
Oh, I know the story.
Well, where they all broke down on the motorway, and Drew had to hold the show up for like...
Drew wrestled Matt Daly, Coach Tripp and somebody else for maybe an hour.
Just... him for
just while Drew had flew down, you know what I mean? Or else they would have been right up shit creek. Could you imagine if the fans thought there was nobody there? No.
Drew wrestled Matt Daly?
Yeah.
Jesus, man, that must have been a bulldozer match.
I believe that show is on ICW On Demand.
Yeah,
I believe.
As in, my name is Matt Daly.
Matt Daly. No, it's just nothing against Matt, but Drew is a big boy. And
I love that Matt Daly.
The man who needs no introduction.
Yeah. I love Matt. I get to say I have a lot of time. I've trained with Matt at Source. A lot of time for the guy.
He
literally made everybody their push-up boards, which was nice of him.
Interesting. So things like that will again come up in the second half, which we're now going to go to a wee quick break. And in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the actual training that you did. So obviously, we've got some contrasting opinions from how training's changed. So obviously, the moves you learned, the struggles you kind of had, what you could have done better when you're training, now that you learn. And we're also going to talk about, we talked about briefly as well, the other side of training. So obviously it's not just about actually learning to wrestle. There's the whole promoting, there's the whole getting the word out there, and obviously the costs and the balance. So we're going to talk about it, as well as getting at the panel's future goals for where they want to go in wrestling and some advice that we give. But that's going to come up later on the show. Until then, here's what a famous wrestler, I believe he's a famous wrestler, mm-hmm, giving some advice to some trainees. You may know who he is. You may know who some of the trainees is, you don't hear any of them, but yes, this is Triple H talking to the Tough Enough cast. Oh, many, many years ago, so stay tuned and we'll be back in a couple of short minutes.
Hello ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. Do you know how hard it is to say that? Like, I've done this like 5 times now and it's really, really hard. My name is Christopher Saint, I am the patriarch of the House of Saint and the leader of the Sensational Scene Birds.
How you guys doing? Who's sore? Yeah? been hard so far. Big man in the back, you taking the bumps tough? You been hurt? Big f***ing deal. Everybody get in the ring. Take a bump. Take one. Take a bump. Flat back. Just for further notice, one of your nuts is hanging out of your shorts. You got a big hole. It's the difference between that bump and that bump. What's the difference?
Intensity.
What do we do in the ring? From the time we walk through the curtain to the time we walk back through the curtain, we tell a story. But we don't tell it with words, we tell it with our bodies.
Goes right back down.
Big man. You. Obviously, you've probably seen it before, seen it a million times. Want you to throw a punch. I want you to try to hit him with a punch. Try not to knock his teeth out. It's good. Good snap. Hit me one time. See the difference in how fast I snap? What do you mean? React to this. Am I hitting you? Good snap. Good. Attack the mat. Do it again. If you showed like that in the ring, I'd tag you for real. What makes you want to be a wrestler?
Something different for me. It's a challenge. I like a challenge.
You a fan? No?
No.
You just saw it on TV one day and thought I'd like to get my ass kicked for a living. How about you?
Just a lot of the whole business, the athleticism, the pain, the
fame, the glory. Want to get laid? Figure there's a lot of chicks, right? Follow wrestling around. The way I see it is 200 plus days a year, we are on the road. You got kids, they grow up, you're not there. Your wife, she's sitting home. What's she doing? Don't know. Your husband? He's home. What's he doing? Don't know. You get home, you've been gone, you're tired, you're beat up, you're not done, it just starts. Now you gotta be super husband, you gotta be super wife, you gotta be super dad, you gotta be super mom. It's not an easy life. Careers are short, careers are fast. I'm not that tough. I'm no tougher than anybody else in our business. But I respect our business. I love our business. I put my life on the line every day for our business, and I gladly do it, and I will continue to do it until I can do it no longer. You guys are all on the easy track, and you have to earn respect in this business. It's not given to you, you earn it. You pay your dues, and right now you guys are a mile ahead of where you should be paying dues. You guys have the greatest opportunity in the world, in my opinion, to be in the greatest business in the world. Do not f*** it up. Do not throw it away. Because if you do, you piss on every single person that has come before you. Every single person that has paid their dues, every single person that has busted their ass, every single old-timer that's fairly crippled, that can't stand up, that can't walk, you piss on them. Every single person like Darren Drozdoff, who's a friend of mine, that sits in a wheelchair and can't feel a damn thing from here down, you piss on them. You either want this or you don't. And if you don't want it, don't waste our fucking time.
Hi, this is Isla Dawn, and you are listening to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Welcome back to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. I'm Stephen Wilson. I'm joined by Cav, Strack, Jamie, Andy, and Kwaku, and we are talking about wrestling training. Obviously, our panel in the first half went through how they got into training, and what they wish they would have known before they got into training. Clearly it's learn to drive. That's the general. that is the general
concern. Don't go on the number 9 bus.
Do not go on the number 9 bus. Before we get back onto the topic, I'd like to thank Christopher Saint and Isla Dawn for providing those sound bites for this week's show. If you're listening to us for the first time, please subscribe to us. We're on all good Android podcasting sites, as well as iTunes and Spotify. And please follow us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Suplex Retweet. Right, let's now get on to the actual training. What he's actually... training he's did when he's actually first started. Now, as we talked about in the first half, there's clearly some differences in the training now to the training back when Strack and Cav started.
Major difference.
So I think it's best that we start with you, Strack, Cav. What was the moves and the type of training you did when you sat when you first got
we,
in there?
When we first started, right, obviously you do your warm-up. Back then the warm-up was like nothing. And we were at least good couple of months before we were allowed anywhere near a ring.
Aye.
Right, that was the key thing. You earned the right to get in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned a lot of stuff like your collar and elbow tie-ups, your actual, like what people would classify as chain wrestling.
Oh, you get that ground.
Hold for hold stuff, and like your strikes, your forearms, your axe handles, your kicks, your punches. Well, not really your punches, because a lot of people are terrible. Punches are one of the things. Unless you're Jeff Jarrett, don't do them, because his are a thing of beauty. You know, Jared punch, lovely. but it's a case of like we learned the basic fundamentals. Mm. Once you were allowed in the ring, you would go over stuff like fair enough, you would do like your slams, your suplex stuff on the mats, but once you were in the ring, it was your internationals, your Texas dribbles, all these sort of different drills, these crazy name moves, your hip tosses and stuff in the ring, actually being able to run ropes and stuff, which is hugely underrated. If you kind of run the ropes, then you're government.
Like see a lot of people fear-tailing into the ropes. You see them just kind of gingerly reading what it's like you need to sink into it. It doesn't look like you're going anywhere.
You hear the thing, is it the type of thing you need to condition yourself into running those ropes regular, kind of like
it's like if you don't run them properly, I read like an absolute ton of wrestling books and they always say about running the ropes. If you're not running them right, you're going to damage like your back, your muscles and stuff like that. Was it Mick Foley says he was pissing blood if he was running the ropes wrongly at the beginning? So, you know, these are the sort of things that if you don't condition your body to do that, then you're going to really just ruin yourself. So,
I'd say that is to like, try and get your cardio up before you start and try and put on a bit of muscle mass. Cardio, because training now, they will try and blow you up because they don't want you going out. Because we used to get it. How many times have we did a show and a guy done a match and it was 5 minutes
in? No, not even 5 minutes.
Blown up. Absolutely blown up.
Same guys on their entrance, blown up.
Stephen Amell spoke that about 2 or 3 minutes into his match with Christopher Daniels at All In, he was blowing up something awful.
They don't realise how vigorous it is in your body. It's
the difference between like exercising and wrestling is a huge difference. You're saying well, I'll be a cardio, but you kind of just go and be like, oh, I'll hit the treadmill for 20 minutes and up my cardio that way, because it's a different type of cardio.
No, you've got your, it's kind of like a mix. It's the closest thing you probably get to it is CrossFit, because you're running about daft, but you're also
down.
You're going down, you're going up, you're moving, you're twisting, you're throwing, your every muscle's getting used. It's kind of like MMA, because guys do marathons, so do MMA, not really. Pull you to the ground and you've not got the power to get back up, you're done. So it's a really big mix of everything. It's not just one thing.
But I thought it was quite interesting the fact you said it took you so long to actually get into an actual ring. I mean, Andy, Jamie, how long did it take you to actually get into the actual ring? Was it quite as long?
About an hour.
I think mine was like the next week, but especially with PBW, you don't get a ring. So it's important to learn everything on the mats in case anything goes wrong.
Right, let's go with a privileged student over here.
I can't actually remember it.
He's got two rings.
Yeah, we got two rings, yeah.
So two rings. One of them lived in the toilet. And it was purpose built and it was far too high.
I can't actually remember. I don't know if we'd done a rolls first or we'd done a collar and elbow tie-up, but we did get straight to ring right away. I think it was like week 4 where we ran the ropes and I just remember it like hurting like mad. I just had lines up my back, and it is a case of you're never prepared to do it, but then just like now it's like nothing. Just like now I'm at the point where I'm just like flying off the ropes too quick. I'm like,
three steps
from?
And pivot.
I don't even know how many is that. I just I don't even know.
I don't even know about that back at the ring.
But Jamie, you moved from, you were obviously at the asylum and you went to PBW. Was it a difference having that type of training to then just learning the mat?
I guess it is easier in a ring. See, going from taking a bump in a ring to taking it on like a little sort of kiddies, tiny thin mat, it is a lot nicer getting back in the ring, but it also makes you appreciate it a lot more.
I was going to say, you respect the fact you're getting ring time.
Yeah, like we sometimes get ring training before a show, but also depends like if we're on time, if anything needs done. So when you get that, it might only be like 20 minutes, but you're appreciating that you're getting that time in to make yourself better. But then it's like you also know how to handle yourself in a match without a ring. So like the time at BCW where it was Joe Coffey versus someone and the top rope went and they still managed to finish the match. And that's what we're prepared for. Like you're not using corners, you're not using ropes, you don't need to rely on anything.
You just know how to wrestle.
Yeah, yeah. You're basically getting that knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of get that. It kind of reminds me just thinking of it like kind of amateur wrestling type style with the obviously Olympic level where you're obviously, it's a circle, but it's not exactly, you're not relying on different areas.
I know Mikey Whiplash, he's a huge fan of that kind of style of wrestling.
Oh yeah.
And like guys like Tim Thatcher and stuff, he's brought them in to teach people how to wrestle, which has been great.
He's match with Angelico. Did I get that right?
Angelico.
Angelico, thank you. Shucks' party was a technical masterclass between the two of them.
Yeah, that's one of the good things about, like, if you're training outsourced with Whippy, because he can pretty much do everything. That guy can. I've not seen it, but he has spoke about his 450. I don't know if I'll whip it out, but the guy literally can do everything in wrestling. So there's no wonder why Source has such a predominant school these days.
I mean, you've obviously said a lot of the things you do, they're not easy. Mm. They are really difficult. Yeah. Was there anything in particular any of you really struggled with when you first started?
I struggled with back bumps for a while. The first time I'd done it, I gave myself a whiplash. So it was kind of, I nearly never got through level one, but they were like saying that was like those certain parts. Towards the end, I sort of got used to doing back bumps right properly, but there was a good time where I just couldn't do it. I sort of was arse and then back and then head. So I just kept smashing my head off the ground, and the trainers were just like, you'll get brain damage if you keep doing that. And then, yeah, just kind of got that out of us. I struggled with that. I think leaps is always quite a struggle, but it's quite amazing how fast you like pick up on stuff. Like I nearly dove out of the ring when I was doing the leap because it was kind of like just went under and I was like, right, I'll get up now, and I'm just hit the ropes. I was like, how'd I get here so quick?
Suicide dive.
Yeah. That happened at an SW training with this guy, Dickie, his name was, and we were doing like the sleep leap.
Yeah.
So the guy leapt and he went under, and he never brought his body up, and he just literally straight, boom, onto the floor. Yeah. Oh my God.
But we hadn't seen Lionheart for about 2 weeks, and he's like, this is the part I love because you see so many fuck ups.
Yeah. Cav, is it? You found difficult to start?
Back body drops. I kept going over Ric Flair because we were doing like an easier version with this guy that we called Happy Feet, right?
That's a good.
And he moved as I was going over, and obviously, as this is a podcast, you can't see, but I'm holding up my pinkies to show you what happened because I decided to use my hands to land. And it kind of gives me the fear, so I do a lot of like, I took the Ric Flair bump for a while, but you know, these days I can take a back body drop. It's not pretty, but I can take one.
Strike will be yourself.
I've taken back body drops, especially Darren Lewis. He used to launch you. Except I used to put the fear into Adam Shea because I used to tuck my neck at the last minute, like Jeff Hardy and Christian, and he used to be so paranoid that I was going to land on my face. I'd just tuck it at the last minute and he'd be like, stop doing that. It's like, how? It's making me worried. I'm going to do it more now. But I agree with you, obviously. When you get into a ring, you do appreciate it a lot more because I was in BCW, as I say, it was a concrete flare with these stem gym mats, and you used to learn to back bump on that, hip toss on it, and there was one time me and Jack just got into a bit of a dispute that he told me to fuck off out of the training centre, and just put, no, I'll pay my money, I'm staying here anyway. We were doing victory rolls, and if you've ever done a victory roll, it's a weird concept, because you're on somebody's shoulders, and you have to go forward strap yourself onto basically the top of your own back, avoiding your neck, and roll under. And when you're up there, you're like, that. Nah, I ain't doing that. I ain't going forward. And Jack was like, you need to go down. I was like, no. Go down? No. Just get off the guy's shoulders, no problem. What we do next? Just fuck off. It's like, no. So, when you're doing the ring, it's a lot different because you know it's a bit more party, but there's not really hitting. I still can't do a arm drag though. See, actually, I'm dragging somebody.
Yeah,
I can't whip myself under.
Yeah, you see so many people, it's quite hard to do.
I do a Japanese, that's the way I prefer to do it, although I've done it once and I accidentally reversed the DDT myself.
Watch Ricky Steamboat, the master of the arm drag.
Yeah,
I get the pretty premise. I can do moves people like don't have a clue. I can, there's moves that people go, how do you know how to do that? So I just taught myself. Like leaps and split, mostly that, anything RVD and AJ Styles can do, I can do. But the stuff and I'm looking going, I just can't do an arm drag. It just ain't happening.
See, for years I couldn't do a knee drop. It wasn't even.
Could be a knee drop?
I couldn't do a knee drop, honestly. It wasn't until maybe like 2-3 years ago. And I got taught how to do it. I think it was either Nicky Cross or Whippy that taught me how to do it, but I'd never done a knee drop.
I did the big AJ bicycle one. And
I hate that.
Jamie O'Malley thought I'd crushed Stevie's skull.
Well,
landed, he's like, I thought you'd dragged your knee right in his face.
Joe Smith used to use it, used to train us also, and it looked terrible, so.
I thought right, it looks good.
Just hate it.
Jamie, what about yourself? Anything you found difficult?
I think, like, it sounds stupid, right, but one of the big things is knowing your lefts from your rights.
Yeah.
Like, see if you're doing a sequence or something, right, but when you're doing the sequence, you're like, line, hip toss, arm drag, and you're needing to know, like, right arm up, left arm up in, like, 2 seconds. It's so easy to get confused with it all.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I keep going left, and I keep going the wrong way.
Yeah, and, like, some people throw, like, left lines as well, and then you're just sort of like, no.
What Billy Gunn says to us, when Billy Gunn was teaching, is... See the guy that's running,
mm-hmm.
You're running a straight line.
You're running a straight
it's
line.
It's up to the guy that's thrown the line to pick the side. You know what I mean? Unless you're Ultimo Dragon who can work both sides.
It was sort of different. Like, see at the asylum, it was sort of like when you started, everyone was sort of drilled in the same way. So, like, I remember doing sleep leaps in the ring and I only got to do it once, but I never actually got to do it. I was working with this other girl. She goes to leap. Jumps up with both her knees up, I run straight in.
I've seen that.
I'm just sitting there with like a pool of blood coming out my nose. So I never got to try it after that. And then also doing like sunset flips over the ropes and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't do that. But like everyone did the same thing. Whereas you go to PBW and it's sort of like, well, not everybody does the same thing, but if you're not pushing yourself, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so not everybody leaps, but you can bypass and stuff like that. So.
If you physically feel as if you can't leap, there's always other ways around it. You know,
yeah.
Switch,
yeah.
Bypass, throw a line ducks. You know,
you'll find
what works
for you. Yeah.
It's with liver assessments, and that's like leaps, like essential.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like if you can't do it, then.
But not everybody's like a flyer.
I know, yeah, it's like there's so many people you see like running at somebody else's like balls, and it's just.
I mean, like the difference between me and him wrestle. I mean, there's a show during the one. The Battle Royal, it was you, me and Butcher were the last ones left. I went to Stinger Splashy, didn't realise how high I jumped, and almost flew out the ring. I seen the metal corner of the post air his head, and I seen I was coming down too high, and I went, I'm going to do
Cesaro.
I almost done that. Luckily I grabbed onto his shoulders and his wee ponytail at the time, kind of yanked myself back, saved myself. And I kind of bricked it at that point.
I love for many years I've been like, I would love to do something with wrestling. I think I picked the right way of going through media.
Yeah.
It's like maybe I should learn these things, and I'm like,
But it's fun seeing you did hurt yourself. Like, I know it sounds really sick, you're like viewing me. So you kind of hurt yourself, you still get that, you're that buzzing, you don't actually feel it.
I kind of rush because it's like just the adrenaline's like hanging and they're like slow down. So I'm just like really pumped right now.
I've been concussed and they went, remember what we're doing next? Don't you remember my name right now? So I remember doing this. Right, cool if you say so. Not a clue.
I was just saying, I remember the first time I was doing a suplex, it was kind of like I got the guy in the air, And I was, and then for all of a sudden I was just like, how did I fall back? And then I was like, sorry, and then I started talking to Jack Jess and he's just looking at me and I'm like, oh shit, I've still got him in the air. And I'm like, having to like...
You're trying to be impressive. It's a hanging suplex.
I wasn't at all. I was just like, right, so did I just fall straight back or...
I'm doing his best Bobby Lashley.
I was in a six-man for when 0-1 came over. Back when the SW were partnered with 0-1 for a while. So we get the 0-1 guys over to take training, so it was European Spirit, and it was me, Tom Fulton and Ian Ambrose against Jackie Polo, Nathan Black and Tim Wiley. So I mean, we planned a match, good match, near the end I hit Big Sean with the Pele kick, clean sparked him out.
Jeez.
Totally forgot the finish. Jackie's like, good ring! So literally Jackie threw his aim partner out the ring so that we could go to the finish because he was in La La Land.
No, that's the one thing as well, like, it's good that how you were saying with injuries, like, a couple months ago, it's not even like that big an injury, right? But did a tie up with a girl and end up getting headbutted? Yeah. But it was like...
Is that because she kept her head down?
Yeah. I think it was sort of both our faults, but it was like we were just rushing it. But my lump ended up like bigger than a microphone. It was literally like out there. And I'm sitting going, like, let's keep going. Like, I'm ready, I'll take the line. And I'm just sitting with this right out there.
I was going to say, we did have one guy who was getting scoop slammed, and the guy who was giving it sort of stuck his knee out and his eye hit right off his knee before he could get up. It's like his eye just swelling.
I was training at Reckless and we were doing like a running overhead belly to belly. And went up and never flipped enough and literally just head, neck, everything. Really hurt my shoulder for it. Luckily at Reckless, there's a guy there, Joe Mills, he's a physiotherapist, I'm pretty sure he's a lovely, lovely guy. Cupping therapy, you ever tried cupping with the suction cups?
Oh yeah.
Magic.
Love it.
I had so much pain in my shoulder for about 3 weeks after it. He put the cups on it, done in a week, fantastic. Guy. Can I recommend that enough?
You just basically learn how to like live with it. Like all the pain, all the injuries, you just get on with it, you still love it.
My knees are killing me right now. I've done a crossbody and my knee pads have worn out. I've got knee pads that are worn out.
See my knee, see the fibre in your kneecap? I've tore that. twice, once with Brad Fusion hit me with a Dominator because my knee pad slid down, and the other one was doing a cross body, my knee pad slid down. So 1 week I tore one knee fibre, and then the other week I tore another knee fibre. I was like, this is fantastic. No, I did, it just slid down.
I'm guessing you're looking as if you want us to move on.
I'm actually loving it because it's for once Steven's not controlling.
He's really selling this wrestling great with all these injury chat.
it's fantastic.
Superficial injuries,
So did you die?
Did you die though?
We're the real life superheroes here.
So yeah, there's clearly so many injuries you could do. So yeah, wrestling, don't try this at home, kids.
That's why we have schools.
Trampolines.
But as we've talked about, there's not just the actual getting in there wrestling side of actually being a trainee or getting training. There's so much other stuff you don't realise this until you get a bit more in depth into the actual. I've kind of learned this just by having this podcast and you writing about wrestling. There's so much other things that needs to be done on it. Various different things. Jamie, you came across on the flyering.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something people say is done as much, but from what's said, it's still a really big thing.
You'd be really surprised. Like, people don't think about it that it happens nowadays because obviously you've got all the social media and stuff, which does help. Like, we do share everything on Facebook and Twitter and that. But, like, going out to these local towns, like right now we're flying in for our Larbert show because PBW is back in the Dobby Hall on the 29th of September. Nice wee plug there. So we're out, going out to Falkirk, going out to Larbert, all those places, and flying in, putting up posters and shops and stuff like that, and it helps boost the sales so much more just other than doing it online.
You know, Discovery mostly do online. Discovery do barely any flyering. They only do them if they really have to.
I think it's, see, because like, Discovery don't really have a training school, so they've not got an awful lot of trainees to drop on. Whereas with us, we always get told that flyering and building the ring, doing that was all part of paying your dues.
Yeah.
Aye. We were told you were allowed, what was it, 2 out of 4?
Aye. We done 2 flyering sessions, and so you had to go to a flyering session and either build the ring or take the ring back down at the end of the night. And that was it. And
you even see that in NXT, WWE,
they still build the ring, and it helps because then you know if you're building the ring, you know if there's any problems with it. You know what I mean? You're not going to have to then go, oh wait, that bolt's a bit loose, or that rope's no right, or whatever. Or what happened with X-Pac when somebody put the turnbuckle hook on the ring way and tore his arse. You know that because you then built the ring. Have you never seen that? That's horrendous.
I haven't, no.
Oh, horrendous.
I think about Joe Henry like breaking his leg, or was it Joe Coffey, on a PSWG mat? Or
maybe Coffey. Was he not? Have you seen it on crutches at one point a year ago? Maybe Coffey, yeah. But yeah, the flying side is obviously bigger, and that helps with the obviously the promoting side of it. I mean, do you, just briefly, do you see flying as the best way of promoting still, or better ways?
See, be honest, it's no really like, I wouldn't say it's the best way, but it's an effective way.
Yeah.
It depends on the show as well. Like, see if you're going out for an ICW show, right, it's not going to really work, but see if it's family shows, like the kids will see the posters and go, that's the big Grado guy that's on TV.
If they've got good posters, good for it, it'll attract casuals,
it'll
attract your families, it'll bring in your walk-ins, whereas your hardcores and like your internet fans and stuff, they know they can get the information through the online social media, so it's a way of attracting a bigger audience, a biggest audience as you can, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the guys, a lot of the guys, I spoke to the likes of Red Lightning and Lionheart for a recent article I did, and they were really, really talking about, well, you still get the social media, flying in is still
it's major
a big thing. I think it's kind of a, you need to kind of split them,
if
you need to judge it.
If you don't advertise your show, you're not going to draw, it's that simple.
Yeah.
Whether it being adverts in a paper, whether it being flying, whether it being online social media, whether it being on the radio, word of mouth, you still need to advertise your show. Same as wrestlers these days, majority of us have either a fan page or a Twitter or whatever, you know, Cavzilla19, Alex Cavanaugh on Facebook if you're that way inclined. You know, they need to promote themselves as well in the same way, you know. Further, if I don't go around handing out flyers about me, which I really should.
Just your face on.
Hey,
want to see me wrestle?
But obviously, that's one part of the other side of them. But we kind of touched upon it in the first step as well. There's the costs. It's not a cheap thing to get into. It's not a thing like you can walk in. Your things are like with a lot of sports. You'd be surprised. There is a lot of costs, but there is things you need to pay to actually get in, and you need to pay for your kit,
pay for your training, which. And a lot of schools, they have either a pay monthly or a like, pay as you go option. So it makes it a bit easier depending where you want to go. You know what I mean? If you're like, oh, I can only train so many times this week, so I've got enough money for like, maybe one or two sessions, or I'm on the monthly debit, so I can go every week. And it just depends on your own personal circumstances. Then obviously looking into buying stuff like your pads, your boots, or when you get to that level, buying your gear, which I can't stress enough. You don't put the money in for your gear, you're not going to look good.
But this is the thing as well, it's kind of different when we started to...
When we first started, the only place you could get gear was High Spots.
Aye. Or MMA Universe. We all got kick pads for every one of us. And everyone just learned now you can take that logo off with nail varnish.
So all that years of putting electrical tape out a kick pad was for nothing, Strike.
We done it for nothing. Or, as I get told today, put gloss. White glossy or tap it to give me the black and white ones.
Shocking.
But my first wrestling gear, my trunks were out of Matterland. They were jet black swimming trunks. And I got a guy from Bell Salt to stick on the Yin Yang logos on the side.
Yeah. Because you wanted to be Rob Van Dam, wasn't it?
I said we all wanted to be somebody. Yep. Lionheart still wants to be The Rock.
You know who apparently put loads of effort into his gear when he first started? It was John Cena in WWE.
Yeah.
He made a different colour gear for every set he was in for the local teams.
Listen, I think that if you buy gear and you only buy one set and you buy it and say you buy your gear in black, your opponent's wearing black and they've not got another set of gear with them, kind of clashes. So as a wrestler, invest in your gear but in as many different colours as possible. I've got the trunks with the barbed wire and I've got them in like four different colours, and I'm looking to get more gear in different colours because, you know, everybody's wearing black, everybody's wearing red, you know.
Because it's not even just that, it's like, yeah, different colours, but also depends if you're a heel or a face. It's better to have different gears to establish yourself in that way.
Jai, we all found Jai C gymwear, and you send him a drawing.
And he would make it.
And they would make it, and I was actually quite surprised they made it to my actual drawing specific. I was like, oh, I made a fuck up in that, but they've actually done it in my gear. Ah, well, that's my gear now.
Nowadays, they've got so many gear companies and so many different places that you can get stuff for. Like, you've got your Neo Lucha, you still get your stuff for High Spots, you get your JJ Creations, M2M, Vic Stitch, who else makes gear?
Neo Lucha.
I've already said Neo Lucha, that's how I got my stuff for. Who else does make gear?
Make
your
gear. Elucha has done my majority of my gear.
Because I quite like to see like the whole armor.
See that? That's actually that's cosplay stuff for eBay.
I'm not gonna lie there, Quark. You just did a Dave because you said they'll look like 2 minutes before you.
No, because I was asking where he specifically goes. He was just listening.
I specifically.
No, I did say that's where it was.
Like, I did get stuff for Custom Cunts as well that I won. It was quite
from
nice.
Where?
Custom Cunts.
Is that natural?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I don't really see them posting as much as they used to when they came out.
Really?
I wonder why.
It was spelt with a K. Both words are spelt with a K.
Because that makes it better.
I'm trying to remember what
the KK.
It was like a K dot U dot N dot T. Is like, I can't remember.
Yeah. Fair enough. But
try to do the FCUK.
But there is also you talk about cost. Another thing that we kind of touched upon as well is a lot of people, especially in this country, it's not a full time job for them.
Not for most of them.
They do need to kind of balance it with the other aspects of life. Andy, you're a good example of this, obviously. Is it still a uni student?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Still trying to make some money?
Yes.
And wanting to train to be a wrestler?
Yeah.
There's a lot of juggling there.
Fortunately, I sort of signed up in March, so like the exam season kind of starts April, so you kind of finish uni in March. So I had time to kind of do it, but then it was trying to get a job, and luckily I know a few people in England, so I got like a job down there for like, was it 9 days for like £900? So I just had to miss a week of training, but I managed to.
You
find
a drug dealer?
I'll tell you on the down low.
No, is no. Off camera. Not on camera.
No, on the down low.
Off camera though.
Off camera though. No. Just festival work. I've worked there a few years. So
drug
like,
dealer fest.
To be fair, actually, you could make a. It is a family festival. So. I don't think I'd get too out. And I found like a job as well. It's called like Silverback, and they do events. So I said to him that I do training on a Wednesday, and he's like, "That's fine. I'll just text you, and just if you can do these shifts, then that's it." And that's kind of kept us funded for it. Now I'm back at uni, and I've got my big student loan, so I'm like,
look forward to paying that back. two grand still to pay back. I mean,
really, Jesus.
But there's so much balance. I mean, you said that, Jimmy. You talked about how £45 the taxi and all the other things were coming. It wasn't easy. Gav Strack. I mean, Strack. Were you doing wrestling when you were in the kids?
No, when I first started wrestling, when we first started, I was unemployed, actually.
I wasn't really unemployed for that long,
but the money I was getting, I gave most to my mum for like, dig money, and I had like, maybe £20 left in myself. It's just a case. I was like, right, I've got £20 left myself for a fortnight, so they kind of manage money out for the bus to get there. I buy an Audi ticket on Sunday, and then get the obviously paid training, which was a tenner. So it was a case of paying for training that way. And then when I did start getting work, it was right because I lost so many jobs turning and saying I can't work a Sunday.
Oh yeah, that still happens.
And they say to me like, "How?" So I'm doing wrestling, and there was a job. And remember Global, the video company, doing the road for me, literally doing the road. I was guaranteed that job, and I walked in. And I was like, "How you doing?" Talking with everyone. The manager was ready to say, "Can you start on Monday?" I said, "Can I work Sundays?" And I might not be able to work Saturdays. How? It's because I'm going to wrestling. So if I'm Sunday, I'm training. Saturday, I might be at a show. So. Probably twice a month I can't work on Saturday and I can't work on Sundays. And she was like, alright, thanks very much for coming. Enjoy the rest of your day. And I was like, oh. But being young and stupid, you just kind of, that's just sinking your head, isn't it? It is a lot harder. And then when I was in Curry's, I did go back for a bit when I'd done the, what was Grog's called?
Night of Wrestling.
Night of Wrestling. It was easier because I had money, but then trying to get time off to go to training was a nightmare. So it's you're constantly just trying to get a balance.
God, I know it was hard to get a day off when you just
hard to get a day off in general. Never even get a day off of wrestling.
I know.
Then you get back in the next day and your body's beat up and it's like, oh, okay, that wash machine out.
When I first started, I was at college when I first started, so it was a lot easier. And I had a weekend job at the time, so I worked in Greg's at the weekend. I've then went on to be an assistant manager for Greg's. I've kind of left, but nothing with the degree I've got. Luckily the manager and the store I'm in is quite accommodating if I need time off. See, as long as I put it in advance I can get time off, but I have lost out on a lot of work for, like, companies in England. Can you come down this weekend? Oh, it's a bit short notice. I can't get anybody to cover a weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a nightmare trying to juggle that, trying to juggle your personal life, trying to juggle your gym. Mm-hmm. It's a grind, but if you don't want it, don't do it.
I know. As you said earlier on, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it, you know.
Literally, it's like I thought. I think every one of us has thought it's like about wrestling. The more you put in them, that's what you're
gonna
get.
Don't get me wrong. See, last year December, I was ready to pack a whole lot in. Just fed up with everything. But I've, you know, gave myself a kick up the arse that I need. I'm focusing on just getting myself as good as I can.
I did get criticised on that though. They said that I was at work and I was obviously in the gym, and I did say, listen, I can only really be training once a month, and I get told that you need to come to training there. I says, well, but I need to go to the gym to have the physique to look like an actual wrestler. So it's kind of see where I'm coming from. It's not okay, I'm more likely to go to training once a week to just day training and then piss off. I'm actually in the gym 4 hour nights, murdering myself to have a good physique to look like, because there is a few people that I've done shows and I'm looking going, don't look like a wrestler. I know this whole Vince McMahon era, the whole everybody's no 6'4" and ripped to pieces.
Big sweaty man.
Mikey Whiplash did say something to the guys, and I thought, that's what I've been trying to say for years, I just didn't know how to say it. Whippy says you need to look like you can handle yourself in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be shredded by a six pack, because I know guys who are bald and they've got a glass jaw, but I know guys who are quite heavy, who can scrap, but they look like they can go. But you get guys who look at it and you go, you've just walked to the pub, mate. You just look at what you've walked to the pub, you're bored, decided to give this a shot, and you're going to wander away again. So it's, you need to kind of, let's say, have the physique at the same time. But it's true, you try and put in as much as you can while trying to juggle other things on the other side.
I mean, that's quite a good point to move on to my next thing I was going to talk about. I mean, there's so much in this, we could be talking all night about it, but I'm just going to quickly ask you all, actually. I mean, we've talked about all these sides of things, the trainings I've done in the past. We've all talked about a lot of things in the past. What's your plans for the future? You especially, are you going to get back into wrestling?
It's just finding somewhere to go, really.
You know a guy who's a trainer.
No, I know, I knew Cav.
Technically not a trainer, but...
I'm trying to sell you here.
Private training.
No, but as I'm saying, I'm a full-length Cav now, because he does have his head screwed on straight, and when it comes to people training-wise, he's always a good judge of character. Well, when I first met you, I did actually want to knock you out.
A lot of people say that. I'm pretty sure the feeling was mutual, man.
Because every...
Cavan, sorry, you said the same with me, it's fine.
No, I wanted you sacked, there's a difference.
But is it because I was just so naturally good at everything?
No, you're just a smart arse at everything. Just anything you said, you go, oh no, that's wrong. You just prove the point, you go, alright, you want to let something slide? No, you did everything was like that.
I've got OCD that way, leave my lane. So,
that's how the first match of me and Falcon done we used to. You weren't in the ring as much, because I tried to stiff the shit out of you, but you kept sending Div in.
It's because I got told to you, because I had... Shiv at the time was the wrestler, I was the mouth, because Shiv didn't talk.
Aye, you were the mouth, that's how I wanted my horns on, but it was like, ah, you know what, if I've got him, I've got him. So me and Falcon just stiff the shit out of him. Sorry, Shiv, if you're listening.
Still one button,
don't we? That's his fault, not mine. Oh, wait, no. That was Mike's. But I don't know. I do love bodybuilding, I do love wrestling, and I'd say at the start, it's kind of different. If I go to bodybuilding, it's up to me. I can put my money in to compete on stage, I will get to be on stage, but it's up to me what I do the work to get the place, whereas it's different with wrestling. You're putting your place in somebody else's hands. It's, you think you're good enough to be on get in that ring and do a show, but this other person's got other ideas. So that's the two contrasting things, where I'm like, I want to do this, but I waste my time with that. But if I go back to that, I'm like, but I still miss this. So it's, I don't know, I'm thinking about doing both. It's obviously they can't be done, but that boy, was it Knife West?
Keefe.
He competed in BNBF, and I've competed for him before, and he's the ICW, so can't be done. Obviously, I'm a lot older than he is. Not by a lot, actually. What age is he?
No, he's young.
He's younger than me.
19?
Something like that. Right. He's stupid. Like
12 year older than him. Jesus.
That's maybe changed Strax's mind on that one.
I can still drink better than Mace Jungian, so I'm pretty sure I can still wrestle better than him.
The impossible will become possible if you can believe the unbelievable.
Is that DDP?
No,
it's a Nike advert.
No. Armour core. Big Hulk's foil.
He's been hanging around Bo Dallas.
The only thing that's annoying is the fact that when I wrestled the first time, I was 8 stone. And now I'm 12 stone. I'm bigger, stronger, and look better. And I can't get back in it. So it's like, I don't know. I really don't know what to do.
Jamie, you think you might get booked soon?
It's sort of our waiting now. Obviously, we have... in PBW we've got our academy shows, and it's sort of just waiting for that decision whether you're trusted and good enough to get on those shows. Hopefully within the next year, I would love to have the opportunity to get a debut, but we never know.
This podcast will endorse it. not financially.
It's a little name drop.
Yeah.
Steven will personally fund it.
Will you pay for all my stuff as well?
Do you know how much I get paid?
You do how expensive gear is.
I know. I've learned this in this show this evening.
I literally just got new ring boots in today and it was £145.
Kick pads, fit in the leather, are 60
quid. I'm still wearing the same boots that I got for Hicebox. They have lasted me at least 12
years. Are they Black Kings?
And they're still going, mate.
Mate, they look like Kane's boots, they're like that thick.
Doesn't matter. I'm actually getting new boots at the end of the month, actually.
Good time.
Andy, you've passed your beginner training.
Yeah.
You're now doing on to the advanced course.
Yeah.
Do you see the advanced course going anywhere?
Well, I don't know. To be fair, I was struggling to bloody jump for a fireman's carry because I was overthinking it. I was sort of like, because I'm like 17 stone, and they're like, right, we're doing this move, so you do like fireman carry and that. And I was like, well, should I jump? And I was like, jumping and going over the guy's head and stuff like that. But anyways, back to the question. I don't know, where I see myself is literally, not, like, I'm 29 and I'm not seeing, like, trying to go for the WWE or anything like that, but just if I get booked for a match or something like that, I just like to do a little match for friends and family, and that's probably it. Maybe try and learn how to do a moonsault, and that's literally it.
Can you give us a quick sneak peek of when your documentary might be out?
No, it's not a document, it's a mockumentary. I have no idea. You have to ask the champion, David Campbell.
He's too busy searching for
lies. He's in Boston.
He is searching for lies and not doing a good job. He's found it on the TV.
Yeah. No, but my plans are pretty much like small at the minute, so...
And Tyler Bate taught us how to do moonsaults. Pete Lynn taught us how to do Canadian Destroyers.
Just moonsault for me.
Cav, what's your plan?
At the minute, I've technically took some time away from training at the minute because I feel like I need to get my body into the best shape I can get in. I'm not a young man anymore, so I need to like the guys that are coming through today, they all look fantastic. I didn't feel I could compete with that, so I've took some time away to get myself into the best shape I can get. Once I've got myself, I've literally got 7 weeks left of the program I'm on. Once I look myself there, I'm deciding whether or not, you know, keep going or give up and just focus on being me. But the main aim is once I'm up, the shape I want to look like after this program is there will be CVs sent everywhere. I'm hoping to get back in on everybody's name, you know, get my name on everybody's lips, get out there, and have the one man war machine wreaking havoc in any show possible, being booed off this podcast team.
we boo a lot.
The one time that we
cheered for somebody who was on this podcast, she gave us grief. Do you remember rightly, Emily?
Oh yeah.
She ripped poor Sarah. So, final thoughts of before the show. I'm going to ask you all again one by one, and this is a question, answer this anyway quickly. What word of advice would you give to anybody who would listen to this show, somehow wants to take all these nasty bumps and injuries you talked about, and wants to train? What word of advice would you give, just within 1 minute?
Literally, pick a good school. Don't just pick the closest school, pick a good school that's a proven track record. In Scotland we have so many, so you literally have as much choice as possible. Mm-hmm. Go in there, keep your mouth shut, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, listen and respect even a guy who's been there a week before you has told you, because he's a week longer in the business and he's been there, you know what I mean? So literally respect the guys that are teaching you, they're taking time out of their lives to teach you, you know what I mean? You know, just go there and get 100%. If you're not getting it 100%, then don't bother coming.
Strike.
I would say I can't agree with Calvi. Go if you're going to go, get 100%. But I'm on the real, not realistic. I don't know how to word this. When you go to it, enjoy it, try and do as much as you can, but do not put your life on hold for it. Because at the end of the day, it's still a hobby. Until you get booked over like Japan and Germany and stuff like that, if you're still just doing Scotland, don't put your life on hold. Don't go, I can't get a girlfriend in case I have to get called up to NXT and it never happens. Don't go, oh, I've not got to take this job or I've not got to do this because this might happen. Because it then gets to a point where you've done all this, you've sacrificed all this, and you're still at the same bit, or you're still, or even you've worse, you've gave it up. It's like 5 years later, and you're like, I've just kind of missed all of that. So, if you want to do enough, like I say, I've done it myself. Loved wrestling, loved in the shows, but then I seen bodybuilding, and I say, I always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to compete on stage, like Arnold Schwarzenegger did. So I thought, I'm going to come away for wrestling because this might not go anywhere. But I want to say, I can at least have done that as well. Make it back to it in the future, which I'm doing, so that's my advice. Just don't put your life on hold for it.
Jamie?
My biggest regret is basically waiting that like year to come back to it. Like I was saying like 3 months beforehand, like I'll keep coming back, and every week something would come up. And when I finally got there, like it was scary, but I was so glad to be back. So no matter, it is important that you're in good physical condition, but I'm not gonna lie, like I'm not the best. I know I'm not the best. So don't put it off. Don't, if you're gonna do it, you're not gonna make stupid reasons for why not or I can't. If you're gonna do it and you want to do it, you're gonna be able to do it. So just do it.
Are you promoting Nike?
Ah, my nice wee Nike high tops and everything.
Just do it,
Andy. Like everyone else has said, it's like just get into it. If you've got an interest in it, you will not regret doing it. Don't overthink it when you're actually doing the moves and that, because everyone's on the same boat. And don't think you're alone, and ask questions if you're struggling, because even if it's a stupid question, like how do you jump? Like,
oh, I've asked some stupid questions. Yeah. See, when we've guest trainers and I'm actually barred for asking questions. I need to think before I say
yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be tough. And definitely look into like research, like schools and the training and that before you do it, because the last thing you want to do is go in thinking this is just going to be an easy uphill thing for me, and you don't realise how hard it can be and how beneficial it is as well. It's like really good, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. And see, if, and on this show tonight, there's been a lot of great stuff actually been mentioned. We've had a lot of great discussion. I mean, I think me and Quacker both learned stuff that we've not learned. I've learned a lot of jargon that you guys have talked about. But you've kind of heard some of these things, you're like, all right, I'm just going to go along with it and think, we've had the right choice to host this show. But no, there's a lot of great stuff in there, and you've obviously gave some great advice. So yeah, that is us for this week's show. If this is the first time that you've listened to us, again, if you like what you've listened to, the back catalogue is huge. We've got nearly 80 shows on there, including a range of interviews and a lot of analysis stuff. So that's on iTunes, Android podcasting sites, and Spotify. Just search for Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet. You can follow us all on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Suplex Retweet. If you've liked it, give us a rating. It needs to be a good one. If you're not going to rate us 1 star, I mean, just go, I don't know.
Something witty here.
Watch Orange Is the New Black or something, I don't really know.
Whoa.
It's good, but it's not wrestling.
that's a brilliant slogan. It's good, but it's not wrestling.
I'm going to say, if DCT are listening, book me and Cal for the Arnold Schwarzenegger podcast, please.
Do it now!
I'll text him after the show, don't worry.
Yeah. Well, listen, Mr. Contact, I will text him after the show.
Cal's got better contacts than me.
Aye, but his are all useful.
Coming up on the next few weeks of the show, next week we have for some reason like David Hockney back in the hosting chair.
Oh my god. The Jim Cornette of Scotland.
we'll be talking about the career, the trials, the tribulations of the man who helped get the name of this podcast. Yes, we're talking about Brock Lesnar on next week's show. That should be good. We might, for those of you who've listened to the show in the past, we might get Alan on the panel.
Get Billy Cockwood on the panel for that, because you know, he knows that I'm better than Brock Lesnar. He knows.
And then the week after that, we have got the second, the historic since the historic first.
No, oh, the for the first time ever since
the first time ever.
That's why number two.
Two botches is not bad.
It's good for me. That's part of the charm of this show. It's all about the botches. Wait till you listen to Dave and Ross on shows. Oh, it's a botch fest. So yeah, that All Women Show's part two is coming at the end of the month. Jamie, you'll be on that.
Yes, I will go back.
They'll be talking about, among other things, the Evolution pay-per-view.
So, and we'll also be talking about which wrestlers we would rather snog, marry or delete.
Can you give us a sneak peek of that now?
And who would you have?
I'll escalate this investigation for you, Kelly.
She's now following me on Instagram, we need to ask her.
The DM slider.
I don't do DMs, I'll just post pictures and tag them.
That'll be some DMs like boo.
That's why I say we're that old, we don't like these DMs. My phone's making this noise.
Oh, you weren't there when we had the interesting conversation with Gary Kellen and Scott in the chicken cottage about DM sliding. We'll talk to you about that later on. But yes, that's what's coming up in the next few weeks. I would like to thank all my panel here, first of all, and Andy Mitchell, thank you for coming back.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
To Jamie, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
To Strack.
Thanks for having me, but when have you booked me next? Oh wait, you haven't? I'll see you in 2018.
2018, yeah.
Is this where the suplex gets brought in?
Hashtag.
No, next year.
Hashtag bootstrap. Hashtag get Sammy on.
Someone give me the last choice.
Sammy for
Strack, nobody else can be bald in his podcast. Do you want to do them?
I'll probably get booked before you for my in-depth interview that I know you're dying to hear, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
You book him before me, you get stabbed.
We'll get Sarah to interview you as a punishment for Boone.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give her pelters.
Oh, don't worry, we'll stop this. No. To Cav, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We will get that interview sorted at some point. If it's a while, it's because we really haven't booked Strack in a while. And I can't deal with that grief. He lives 5 minutes up the road from me. It's going to be.
Don't tell him.
He subscribes, he says.
Secret podcast show.
Listen, that's always been the deal. You get booked, I get booked.
It was never the deal, mate. Never the deal.
As always, I thank my EP, Kwaku Aji. Who's under the weather, so. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm suffering with bird flu right now.
Oh. Under the weather, can you ever be above the weather?
You do not like sweaters.
That's why you don't get booked.
I've been Stephen Wilson, and this has been Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. Until next week, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Listen, cunts, I don't care what the fuck you think you're doing. Whatever you think is more important with your life, you honking bag of tips. You know what you should be doing? You should be going online, you should be subscribing, you should be listening to the back catalogue of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, whatever the fuck you're doing, that's what you should be doing. I don't care if it's your mum's birthday, I don't care if she's feeling contractions, get on it right now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.